Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi everyone, just a note to say that this podcast episode will contain spoilers.
Jingle bells, single all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a single man sleigh.
Sleigh queen. That was a good end.
And we're live.
Do I make you nervous, Corky?
I'm a homosexual!
Lesbian.
I'm a homosexual.
I have loved you the way they said!
You fancy gears?
I'm having a proper full-on gay crisis.
Hello, and welcome to Gay Actually. Thanks for being here. It's going to be a fun old gay time.
Pitch Perfect is a lesbian musical film.
Of course.
I want to carry off badass lesbian chic like Kate Blanchett can.
Welcome! Hello, everyone. That was completely unplanned. I just want to say...
You're the improv queen.
No, because your ending was literally on fleek.
My editing?
No, your ending.
Oh, my ending.
Your editing is always amazing.
I was like, thank you so much. Not relevant, but thank you. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the UK Film Review Podcast. Here are your faves from Gay Actually, coming to you with the last episode that we are doing for 2023. And wow, what a journey it's been.
What a year.
If you're new, if you're finding us over Christmas, hello and welcome. We are your podcast for all of the LGBTQ plus film content. We also have our own Spotify channel where we discuss more films, but also TV, culture, media, everything gay. We cover it, to be honest.
Sounds great to me.
Good, because you've been doing it for well over a year with me now.
Oh, look at that.
My name is Amber, and as always, I'm joined by my lovely friend, Joyce.
Hi.
Right, 2023 has been a wild year. Not only have we covered a lot on the UK Film Review podcast, but we launched our own channel on Spotify in March, and we have 11 episodes now. We try and do once a month. How has it been for you? Do you have any highlights?
I loved it. I think this year was really fun, especially our summer, because we recorded a lot in summer.
We recorded so much.
Yeah, we were every week, like we were doing something.
Yeah, which I would really, really love to do again, like kind of, not stockpile content, but kind of do more, a summer of collabs, if you will, or a Pride Month of collabs.
Oh! That's so cute.
So if you're a podcast or a fun queer person who wants to talk...
And if you're a boring queer person, that's fine too.
No, there's no such thing.
Oh, sorry. I retract my statement.
We want to hear from you. We love connecting with people, especially queer stories. That's why we love film so much. We're both postgrads in it. We enjoy it. And we just like to talk to each other.
Yeah.
So, rounding up 2023 for UK Film Review, Joyce. I know we were talking about this before we started recording, but do you have any particular episodes that we've done for UK Film Review this year that stood out to you? Talk to me.
I really loved the Bound episode.
That's on my list as well.
Obviously.
We just had so much fun recording exactly. it. We were sat like we are now, just across from each other, absolutely wetting ourselves with laughter.
Yeah. About... It's just such a great film.
Yeah.
Like, it was fun watching, it was fun talking about it. It's hot.
It has everything. What more could you want?
Exactly.
Also, from like, not to be the boring one that doesn't say it's hot, but like, from like a queer film history perspective, really interesting that Joyce is laughing at me. But like,
it's like, where is she going with this?
It's just like really interesting in like queer film canon, and how it was kind of a late bloomer for a lot of audiences, especially us. Like, I hadn't seen it before. It's not really been talked about a huge amount. So yeah, it was fun to kind of unpack that.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of noir for the summer.
Summer!
We've tried to like write down two or three highlights from the year. Do you have any others?
Well, one of my favourite films that we watched this year was Tomboy.
Yeah,
I'd already seen it before, but I just really like Silencio Amo.
Is that your favourite director by any chance?
Might be. I just love... Okay, this is completely tangent. It's not even queer. I don't know what it is with French female directors, but they just really do it for me. Like, Agnès Varda is one of my favourite directors as well.
I feel like the films that you like that are French are quite introspective. Like, they're quite quiet. They're like,
they're quiet thinkers. Film.
Yeah, you love a quiet film. Like, when people are just looking rather than speaking.
Love it.
That gets you going.
Does. What was your favourite episode?
So, I wrote down three. Bound was one of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I also wrote down that episode we did on the films of Francis Lee earlier in the year.
That was good.
Where we talked about God's Own Country in conjunction with Ammonite. And we actually got a lot of really positive feedback about that one. Just because I think people really connected to the parallel between representing queer men and representing queer women. And how different the films were and how differently they handled queerness.
Yeah.
It was nice to have that engagement and kind of also validation that people felt the same way that we did, that God's Own Country is objectively the better film.
It's really good.
For that reason. Like, the commentary on masculinity is so good. Whereas, whilst Ammonite is objectively a good film, it doesn't really go deep enough. Like, and we said this at the time, that it doesn't go deep enough for us. Even though Kate Winslet and Saoirse Ronan are incredible. But no shade to Francis Lee. Obviously. And then the final one was from February, when we talked about The Watermelon Woman and Pariah, because that was so... Obviously, we knew both of the films already, but that was so interesting to like go into more detail and research. I feel like we had a really good chat about that one. Also because whilst we were making the episode, it was kind of important to acknowledge, if you've heard the episode or go back and listen to it, you'll see what we mean, but how in the film world, when people are talking about the black queer female experience, they will often lump those two films together, and there's so many more films that you could talk about rather than those two, so that was kind of important to address as well. But yeah, those are my three.
Excellent.
Do you have any others?
No, you pretty much covered it. I think those were definitely our highlights.
On our Gay Actually channel, obviously we had a few collabs this year, which we haven't done before, which I don't know about you, Joyce, but I found that really exciting.
Actually, that was so fun.
Yeah, connecting with people. So we did a collab with the Phantom Zone podcast. Obviously, they're on this platform as well. We love you guys so much. All the nerdy comic content, please. And then we collaborated with Queer Girl Film Club. You can listen to all of those on our Gay Actually channel. We actually travelled up to Manchester for that one, which that was very exciting.
Our first podcast on the go.
Podcast on the road, baby!
Yeah.
And then obviously James Bryce, the lovely James Bryce. We talked about Brokeback Mountain.
That was a really fun episode as well.
So, so fun. Also just like so nice to get a guy's perspective on gay men in film, because obviously we have our own opinions, but we are both cis women. We don't necessarily have that perspective.
Yeah,
yeah. What a year it's been.
That's amazing.
Speaking of, I'm going to try and segue into this because I was thinking about my favourite 2022 episodes. You know, obviously we started doing our UK film review series in 2022, and one of my favourite episodes was our Christmas episode when we reviewed Les Bomb. That, go back and listen to it if you're feeling festive. It is just a terrible, terrible film. I still maintain that it's a terrible film. But in the spirit of that, for 2023 on this platform, we wanted to review another bizarre Christmas film that is gay, because there aren't that many, right? And we kind of wanted to talk about it. So, Joyce, which film did we pick?
Single All the Way.
Yes, Single All the Way.
Single All the Way.
Which is on Netflix, so if you want to watch it, you can. Because it's there.
If you have a Netflix subscription.
If you have a Netflix subscription. It came out last year. 6.2 out of 10 on IMDb.
That's really generous.
Okay, we're going to get into this. Written by Chad Hodge and directed by Michael Mayer.
Pop off.
Shall we get into it? Shall we give a little summary?
Yeah, you can do that.
Can I?
Because you're really good at summaries, and I'm not.
Oh, bless.
Yeah.
You are good at them, yeah. But look at this flattery. So, okay, I'll set the scene.
That was super on brand.
Single All the Way focuses on Peter, a event planner in LA, a plant gay, if you will. I mean, man after my own heart.
Oh my god, I mean, yeah.
Joyce just looked around at all of her plants, including flowers that have been delivered to her place, which is very cute.
Yeah.
So, Peter, plant gay, event guy, and he basically is very unlucky in love. He's just started dating this cardiologist, and then the cardiologist.
Sorry. The cardiologist has a wife and children.
Yes, the cardiologist turns out is not the right person for Peter, least of all because he's married to a woman and has children. So Peter is like, oh, unlucky again. When will I get a boyfriend? And so he goes home to New Hampshire, but he's like, oh God, my family are going to give me such a hard time. Because his family are very aggressive with their love. They're like, we just want you to be happy. We want to find you someone. So we already have a film where the protagonist is openly gay when the film starts. Which for me, I'm like, thank God.
That's so true, yeah.
Because all of the other films we've watched, there's outing, there's negativity, there's I'm in the closet, my religious family aren't going to accept me. Nope. Peter is gay, openly gay, right off the bat. His family love him and accept him. And they just want him to be happy. So happy that they're like, we will get you a boyfriend! So he goes home to New Hampshire, but he's like, oh, I don't want to go home single. I know, I'll ask my roommate Nick, who is a really sweet guy, a task rabbit in LA, and his roommate, and they both go to New Hampshire for Christmas with Peter's family, and chaos ensues from there. That's basically the situation. But at the start of the film, you get this whole fake LA stressful gay influencer scene is how I would describe it.
It actually starts out so funny. Yeah. It's like a photo shoot that Peter is at. Is Peter directing the shoot?
Yeah, he's like a planner.
Yeah.
So he like plans and coordinates all of the topics and shoots, yeah, and all of that.
It's like a shoot with like four gay men dressed up
basically
as naked Santas.
Yeah. But it's like what I imagine to be, or what I've heard to be, the epitome of like the gay modeling experience. Like, right, everyone is very preoccupied with how they look. Everyone's kind of like, oh my god, hi, nice to see you. But they're like really fake.
And they're all doing drugs and drinking.
Yeah. And you can tell Peter's becoming really disillusioned with it. Because at first he kind of comes across as this like flamboyant, party going gay guy, but you actually realize that he's not that, you know. Mm-hmm. He likes his plants have all got names, he takes good care of them, and him and Nick's friendship as roommates is like really cute and like wholesome and not fake. And that's kind of like his slice of real existence. And then we go to New Hampshire, where his family are, and it's immediately so warm and snowy, and it feels real. Or more real than LA.
More real than the Christmas tree that his mom got this year round.
Nice. There's also a line at the beginning where he's like devastated that he's single again, and he was like, I'll be a gunkle and a plant gay forever, or like a plant lady forever, and I'm like, vibes.
Let me that. Like so how did you feel about the characters starting out? Because so Peter is in his early 30s, I would say.
Yeah,
and just chronically single. I think his longest relationship is the one he just came out of 3 months. Right.
But it kind of is a testament to like the superficial lifestyle that you live in LA and no one like really cares.
I mean, he said about LA when he gets to New Hampshire, he says something like, LA is like a all you can eat buffet, but nothing's actually like good or like actually works out.
Yeah.
So yeah, obviously no luck there. And yeah, what did you think about their dynamic at the start between the roommates, Nick and Peter?
So I thought they were really good. Like I thought their chemistry was good right off the bat as friends. I think because obviously not a lot is everything is revealed about Peter like straight off, but not everything is revealed about Nick. Like Nick's backstory and Nick as a person is kind of like dribbled throughout the film, and like I quite like the contrast between them. Like they kind of. Nick is quite quiet and like unsure of himself. You know, he's published his first book. It's a children's book about his beautiful dog, Emmett. But he's nervous to write the second. He's worried it's not going to be as good as the first. So he's just kind of sitting and waiting. And I thought that kind of... Yeah, that kind of dynamic I liked. What did you think?
I did not catch on to anything romantic between the two of them.
No, whatsoever.
I think, oh, that's so great. Two gay guys living together as roommates. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Like, and they just seem like good friends. And I kind of to talk about them separately. I think Nick's endearing. Mm-hmm. I really can't stand Peter. There you go. I said it. Bomb dropped.
No, he's annoying. But he's supposed to be annoying because he needs... They both need to learn to be confident in themselves in different ways. But he's infuriating.
You're like a wet wipe.
You're literally like, Peter, can you like stop moving for 2 seconds and actually realize what's in front of you?
Yeah.
Like it's infuriating. But he grows to learn that more.
I guess. I don't know. So for me at the start I was still very open to whatever was going to happen next. But I never at any point thought, oh, this film is about two roommates falling in love, because it just didn't have that type of chemistry for me.
Yeah, it really doesn't start off like that. But then it kind of, I guess you're right, because about halfway through you're kind of like, oh, Nick likes him.
Yeah,
but like, that's not obvious.
The narrative was like shoved down my throat instead of actually kind of unfolding before me.
Yeah, because you can't really tell. But then is that because Nick's so good at hiding it and he has to have other people tell him? Or is that because it's badly represented? Who's to say?
Well, okay.
Probably the latter. I think the chemistry is really good.
Between the two. As friends.
Yeah. Well, like their initial scenes together, I love. Because it reminds me of with my gay friends.
Mm.
Reminds me of like us. Which is why it's weird that they end up together. Because it's...
Exactly.
Because it reminds me of us having a conversation.
Right. And that's like, what it felt like. Just banter.
Like, if we lived together, that's how we'd speak to each other. Which makes it weird that they then kind of throw the romantic halfway through. You're kind of like...
Yeah.
You're right, Joyce. It is jarring and confusing.
Thank you. The thing is...
I still like it. It's still cute.
And that's totally fine.
But also, I'm like... They just kind of were like... They've got to end up with someone. Each other?
Yeah. It's like... It was just so... We'll get there. I'm literally jumping the gun so hard. But one thing I will say before we move on and at the start of the film is that the mom makes such a big deal about the possibility of two gay people just being friends.
Yeah.
She makes such a big deal about it.
I
multiple
love Kathy
times
Mitchum
throughout
me.
The film. Yeah.
She's so good.
So Christmas Carol, which is her name, really makes a point. She's reading this book on LGBTTTT youth. Or whatever, my kids.
I like that she can't remember LGBTQ plus. So yeah. She just says LGBTTT. Just to jump in, sorry, not to interrupt, but like the whole thing I love about Christmas Carol. I'm so sorry. Is that like they represent her and the rest of Peter's family in such a wonderful way. It's so refreshing because all of the other queer Christmas films, like, they're ignorant in a negative way.
Mm.
Or, like, there's things that are said and it's like, I'm not okay with it. But obviously, we're past that point. Single All the Way is set after those moments. So Christmas Carol is very much, like, trying to educate herself and be a good ally and be a good mum. And I love that. Like, she doesn't get everything right all the time, so what? Like, yeah. My parents definitely don't, like, but she's not, it's not malicious, she's no. trying really hard.
I mean, she's reading a book, for God's
yeah,
sake.
Yeah, and I love that.
For Pete's sake, literally.
Yeah, and I don't feel like at any point she is overcompensating with that. I think there are parts where we'll get into who she sets Peter up with, but she's overcompensating with those things and, like, the dating thing, because she just wants to see her son happy.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than overcompensating, being like, Queen, you're so great, slay queen, slay bells queen, like,
slay bells.
Because I think people in life, and I've had this experience this year that I think I've told you about, I think people are so keen to show, especially people our generation, they're so keen to show you as a gay person that they are so okay with your queerness that they overcompensate too much. I don't know if you've had this experience, but I've had this experience where it's like, you don't need to prove to me that you're accepting.
Yeah.
You don't need to make a point, you know? So it's kind of like, I appreciate that the film doesn't do that.
Yeah, that's very true.
But anyway.
Well, yeah. So Peter goes home to New Hampshire, as you said, with Nick.
Yeah.
They're kind of going as fake boyfriends, and then that completely falls through right away. I don't know, they just, like, forget or something?
Well, no, Nick literally refuses to do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's so sweet that, you know, they're so welcoming to Nick, but then Nick's just like, blah.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Exactly.
So
kind of right off, just straight away, Christmas Carol.
I love Christmas Carol so much.
I know. So her name, well, they all love Christmas over there, okay? This is like New Hampshire, sleighs.
It's actually snows at Christmas.
Reindeer, you know, the whole American dream thing. Christmas
love.
Lights, yeah. Anyway, Carol goes by Christmas Carol in the month of December. So there you go. When we say Christmas Carol, we're talking about Carol the mom.
Not a Christmas Carol.
Exactly.
Carol.
So Christmas Carol welcomes them, and kind of straight away, she's like, Peter, I have a blind date for you. And Peter, the awkward little thing that he is, sorry, Peter, no offense. If you're like Peter, no offense.
We've all been there.
Anyway. Yeah, but he's in his 30s, come on. Grow up. Anyway, Peter's like, no, what? I would never do that. I'm not interested.
But also, Christmas Carol has an ulterior motive, is that she wants Peter to move home.
Yes. And so she picks out the best guy she could possibly find, which is this really strong, gorgeous looking bodybuilder gay man.
The only gay man in the town.
Obviously.
Well, the only openly gay man in the town, let's be
who,
clear.
For some reason, is interested in Peter.
He's hot. Yeah.
No offense, Peter. I'm being so mean. Okay, I'm going to dial it down.
No. We didn't do that for Lesbom.
That's true.
But Lesbom was bad.
But it feels less offensive because they're lesbians. So I feel like I can offend them.
Yeah, you're right.
But I don't have
I can offend them.
I don't have the homosexual man card. So I need to be careful with my words.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I'm going to trash this film. I'm kidding.
What's his name? James?
His name is James.
The gym instructor.
Do you think James is a red flag name?
No.
Me either. I'm glad we're on the same page.
Why did you ask?
Some people think James is a red flag name.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard that. Huh. I think James is an amazing name.
I like the name James.
Me too.
I'm trying to think of another name that's a red flag name.
Boris. Bart. Anywho.
Bart.
Bart.
Oh, God.
I've had a really long day.
Oh,
God.
We've got this.
This is what happens when we do these after work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So, yeah, blind date. Do you want to talk about Christmas Carol and her plans?
Well, I feel like we've already talked about it.
Do you want to talk about the thing that comes after Christmas Carol and her plans? Oops.
I do want to say that Nick already knows all of Peter's family, and I quite like that.
Yeah,
he
like cute.
Like bringing a friend home for Christmas, that like he just slots right in. Mm-hmm. It's really cute. But anyway, James. James like looks like he wouldn't be nice, but he's actually really sweet. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Like, he's like a big teddy bear.
James is actually like the big friendly giant. He
the big friendly giant.
He's so nice. I've just written so nice. And James kind of gives Peter a vehicle to, when they go on a couple of dates, they kind of are able to talk about how hard it is to be gay in a small town, which again I like because it feels real. Mm-hmm. Because growing up gay in a small town
is real. How did you feel about their dates? So,
well, I felt nothing. Well, because they're really sweet and like they get on really well as friends.
But there's no spark and there's so many awkward moments that yeah. just made me cringe like crazy.
They like spit like the coffee out all over
them. Oh yeah. Ugh. I was like, oh,
they overdo it.
It just yeah. feels like so it feels like rom-com stuff.
Yeah.
Like yeah, it's fine. And then they go what I thought was cute was they go to a Christmas tree farm. I'm gonna pick out a tree
yeah.
for the family Carol. Home because Christmas Carol bought a fake tree this year and everyone hates it. Which, by the way, I support fake trees.
Well,
moving on.
I like Christmas Carol's argument that who's gonna clean up the needles that drop? It's gonna be me.
Yeah, plus it's sad when they burn all the trees after Christmas.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we've still got when. When I moved to London just over 2 years ago, we had been in the flat less than 6 weeks and we bought our Christmas tree from Sainsbury's for £10 and we've still got it. We've kept it alive. So we've
the actual tree for £10?
It was like, it's like a little one. Oh. It's like a little Aww. One. But we've kept it alive.
That's really cute.
So it's our third Christmas with the tree.
Oh, I'm going to start getting a real tree now. I want to keep it alive.
It's very cute. That's lots of spiders live in it, though.
Oh, never mind.
No, but they've left now.
Oh.
They're only little.
How did you get them out?
I'm not the spider. Get rid of her. Let's just say
either.
That.
I have chills all over my body right now. Anyway, so yeah, they pick out a tree together, and I thought that was a cute, like, date.
That was cute.
Then when they try to get it on the car, they're awkward and weird again. But anyway.
Yeah. It kind of flip-flops between being like, this is actually really nice that Peter actually has someone he can talk to about growing up gay in a small town. I like that Peter can have that connection to kind of, because I feel like James is part of the reason why Peter's like, oh, I really do miss home.
Because
that's the whole thing, is that later down the line, he's kind of like, would I just be getting with James because I wanted a reason to be home?
Yeah.
Whereas then he, you know, later he learns that he doesn't need a reason to go home. And, you know, we'll talk about that later. But I like that James kind of represents that.
Yeah.
And James is really chill. Like, yeah. He's not emotional about anything. There's no drama. That's the thing with this film, is that there's like no drama, which I like. It's so refreshing to see a family at Christmas with a gay person and someone not be like, it's a sin,
you know? I totally hear what you're saying, but I think this is why the film is so boring.
Yes, but I don't want trauma at Christmas.
I don't want the trauma, and I don't want the homophobia and the family issues, but there should have been some type of drama because the stakes were so low. Like, there were no goddamn stakes. It didn't even take, sorry, spoilers, it didn't even take Nick a single, like, moment of thought to decide to move to New Hampshire from LA.
Yeah, that's so true.
You're right.
There was just no conflict in this film.
So what you're saying is moving forward. So we've had the Christmas trauma.
Definitely no trauma.
And then we've had the no stakes. Now what you're saying is for the next queer Christmas film, we need something in the middle where there's a little bit of drama, but no one's traumatized at the end.
No, okay. No one that I know has, let me actually think about how I'm going to phrase this. No one I know ever has such a nice, problemless Christmas. Like, where everything's perfect.
Yeah, you're right.
The house looks perfect. The family, everyone's happy in the family. Not a single issue in the family.
Yeah.
Happy little cutesy. Even the teenage girls that act like they're annoyed are actually really happy and cute. Like, everything's fine. Everyone's happy. And everyone ends up together.
It's a bit too vanilla, isn't it?
This is what I mean.
We need, like, a little bit of...
Like, it's too fantasy. Yeah. Like, I need some realistic stuff in there. And none of this was realistic for me.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It is a little bit too, like, queer utopia. We need a middle ground with the queer Christmas film. Like, we've nearly got it right. I think this is the best queer Christmas film I've seen.
I get what you're saying, because everyone's out, and it's nice that everything's normal. Like, the queer people are just normal, and I love that. I think that doesn't make a good film. Like, all the elements that make a film fun and interesting to watch is... if there's actual conflict happening that makes us learn things or makes us realize things, or when the stakes are high.
Yeah.
But there's no high stakes here. Like, there's one point where Peter puts the airport in his GPS because he's trying to get after Nick. But Nick isn't even at the airport. There's nothing there.
It's not.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Remotely stressful, which is I like, but also you're right, there's just like nothing.
I just want to feel below something. The surface. I didn't feel anything.
Right. Let me put to you, if it was Single All the Way, but it was two women, would you feel the same?
Ooh.
If it was exactly.
I see what you're doing.
If it was exactly the same film, but with two women. Thoughts.
I'm gonna go out there and say that I would still be bored.
Okay.
Yeah.
Correct answer.
It wouldn't be more pleasant for me to watch, but I would still be bored. And they only kiss once, so anyway, I would still be bored.
The reason I ask is that obviously it's only natural that we would connect more to stories with women at the center.
Yeah.
So I was just curious to see what you thought, but. The same.
I mean, some of my favorite films aren't even queer. Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Good film's a good film.
Yeah.
And to make a good Christmas film, that's a challenge. And I get that.
It is. There's so many.
And I get that sometimes you just want to enjoy a nice Hallmark, no stakes.
I don't want to watch Hallmark.
Well, this kind of felt like a Hallmark film. You're not? No?
Yeah, a little bit. Oh.
The acting wasn't exceptional.
No shade to Kathy and Jimmy or Jennifer Coolidge.
Oh, and of course not. I'm talking about the Peter and Nick.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't think Nick was terrible.
Nick was better than Peter.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, I'm really sorry. Like, we haven't even gone through the synopsis and I'm already like starting with my... But I just
But we're reviewing it. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. For me, the acting was the one thing that can break the immersion most of... anything in films I feel is bad acting. Yeah. And it really icks me so bad.
It is grating, for sure.
I think for me, I'm now quite good at turning off the film critic in my brain. Like, I have perfected the art of taking a film just for what it is. Like, when it comes down to it, this is a crappy Christmas film. And I can watch that and know that it's that and be okay with it.
That's nice.
And I don't love it, I don't hate it. But, like, for what it is, I think it's good. But it's not an exceptional film.
I totally hear what you're saying. And my stance on this...
I like it when we disagree so much.
I don't... I really actually don't disagree with what you're saying.
No.
I agree with the fact that you can watch a film and just enjoy it for what it is. Yeah. But
sometimes I can't. Les Bomb can die.
Well...
on a Christmas hill.
Well, I think for me, where it goes wrong with this one is that it's boring. If there's a lot of drama, I can watch a film. I love it. It's like a soap. Soaps. I'm not watching any soap right now, but I did it for years of my life. Watch a soap every single day.
Which one?
It's the Belgian one.
Oh, shout it out.
Tess. Did that tell you anything? It just means home. Anyway, I love... It can be shitty for me, but then I need drama. Because there's so many queer films that I love, because it's just outrageously dramatic.
Loving Annabelle.
Like, I love it. And it's so shit, do you know what
and
I mean?
We know critically it's an absolutely terrible film.
Exactly.
The drama, the intrigue.
Like, so my point is not even that it's a bad film. There's nothing in it for me. I felt nothing for Peter. Like, absolutely nothing. And I think it's... I'm not particularly a fan of the acting. And not just of his character. I didn't like his character. I thought there was nothing interesting about him. Mm-hmm. So this is where it falls flat for me. And the Christmas spirit and all that, I also love a Christmas film. I get it. But it just felt too fake. Like, it just didn't feel real.
It was almost too good to be true.
Yeah.
To be honest.
That's it. Like, nothing actually happened. Nothing happened.
They went home and then they stayed there.
He went on a few days with Hot Man, decided, no, I want my roommate of 10 years instead, with who I have absolutely zero chemistry and never thought about before. But apparently I've been in love with him for 10 years. I just didn't know it until my nieces pointed it out.
And then, right, at the end, that in my head, to be honest, I was like, this is a logistical nightmare. How are they going to get the dog and all of their stuff and the plants from LA to New Hampshire? How's that going to work?
Think of that.
I was going insane. I was like, are they going to have to go back to LA and then travel back with the dog? The dog needs to get a little doggy passport. Like, how's that going to work? Like, for me, it was like so many logistics.
Yeah.
And because the end as well, I wanted a little follow-up for their, like, spoiler alert, little gay plant shop. But I didn't get one and I was really sad about it. I was like, I need to know that everything got there okay and that they're fine.
Yeah, so just because we literally jumped the gun so hard that we skipped over the entire story. No, I started it. I take responsibility. Let's just really quickly, we can go into detail later. Peter goes on a few dates with James. It's just blah. It's all good. Nick starts to realize that he's in love with Peter because the two nieces are like, are you in love with Peter? Are you in love with Peter? And then they decide that they want them to pair up. They're starting this whole matchmaking thing. And then finally they both realize, oh, we've been in love with each other for years. And then James waltzes in and he makes Nick jealous. And then there's nothing for a second. And then suddenly Nick bought a plant shop for Peter. And he's going to move to New Hampshire. And they're going to be together as boyfriends.
That was the best summary of a film that you've given ever. That was like I really wish that everyone could have just seen that.
Oh my god.
The passion.
More passion. More energy. More passion.
So, okay. Now that we've given an overview of events, let's talk about Peter's family.
Yeah.
So obviously his parents, love. We've talked about Christmas Carol. We haven't talked about his dad yet.
His dad is just like him, a wet wipe. Actually, quite like the dad.
I like the dad.
Yeah.
Because from the get-go, he knows that Nick likes Peter. From the get-go, he's like, come on.
Yeah, he like sits back and observes. He knows things.
Yeah, he doesn't do what every parent of a queer child does in all of the other queer Christmas films. Mm. He doesn't interfere.
Great.
And I'm like, yes, finally, a parent treating their children like the adults that they are.
That is nice.
Yeah. It's refreshing.
Yeah.
And then obviously Peter has two sisters.
Two sisters? Who's the second one?
The other woman.
Which one?
The one with the nephews. There's one with two nieces and one with two nephews.
Wow, I literally watched this film yesterday and I already forgot about a whole sister. Yeah, the one that doesn't talk with the little boy. Because then they're in the kitchen and the nieces are like half naked. And she's like, oh,
Yeah. So
I forgot about her, sorry.
So, yeah, one of the sisters owns a pub with her husband and has two daughters who are teenagers who also are like, we ship Nick with Peter. Like, we know, Nick, that you're in love with Peter. We're going to make it happen. We're going to craft this. We're going to engineer it. Yeah. And I'm like...
That was actually quite cute. I like that part of the film.
That was really cute. I liked it as well.
Also, one of the girls was the one that played small, or like little Shelley? What's her name?
Hello.
In The Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, I haven't seen The Haunting of Hill House.
If anyone's seen, you know how they all have like their small counterparts, the siblings.
Yeah.
The one
yeah.
that plays the big sister with the funeral home.
Oh, okay.
What's her name?
I can't remember. I literally can't remember.
That was her, but she was a little kid in The Haunting of Hill House, and now she was like a teenager.
No. She grew up so much. But obviously their mum is Jocelyn from Schitt's Creek.
Oh. Yes.
Because I spent like 10 minutes being like, who are you? And then exactly. I was like, it's Jocelyn.
It's like, you're so familiar.
I know, but I couldn't place her because
Shirley.
I couldn't place her. Because her character in this film was so weird. Like, she was literally so crazy.
Yeah, she was bat insane.
Absolutely mental.
Yeah.
And then the other sister's slightly more normal, but, like, doesn't really say anything. And then the kids are cute.
The kids are cute. Yeah.
But the most iconic character of all is Peter's aunt.
Yeah.
Christmas Carol's sister.
Anything that Jennifer Coolidge is in is saved. By Jennifer Coolidge.
I love Jennifer Coolidge.
Oh my god, I love her so much. And she always plays the same character. And I love it.
Do you know what my favourite quote... This is one of my favourite Jennifer Coolidge quotes of all time, is in this film. Which is, like, depressing that it's in this film. But she's like, the gays just know how to do stuff.
Your impression is so good.
And for some reason, they're always obsessed with me.
I love it.
Because I'm like, yes, queen, acknowledge that you are mother. Acknowledge.
Listen, and in have you seen The White Lotus?
No, I have. I actually haven't.
In season two of The White Lotus, she says, the gays are trying to kill me.
But I love that she now just, so in her recent roles, she has to just like throw a little bone to the gays because she loves them so much. Honestly, like, ally of the century.
She's amazing.
She's so fun. But I just love the way she's like, the gays just know how to do things.
Your impression is so good. Should be a Jennifer Coolidge impersonator.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I feel like we're on crack. Should probably cut that out.
Jennifer Coolidge. Like, she's hilarious in this film. She has, like, this weird little subplot where she's putting on, like, the Christmas pageant! Like, the nativity.
Yeah,
I don't know why she calls it.
The pageant. Hilarious. Yeah.
She's, like, this failed off-Broadway actress, which, first of all, is, like, such a good role for her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she owns it.
Yep.
She's, like, plays the narcissist, like, the devastated narcissist really well. But, like, yeah, the whole subplot is basically that Peter and Nick have to bail out this nativity because she's got it all in her own head and she's ruined it.
Yeah.
And her dressed as, like, the fairy godmother. Oh. Iconic.
She looked like the
Jesus H. Christ!
Yeah. She looks like the witch in Wicked. The good one. The good witch.
Glinda.
Yeah. She looks like Glinda because she even has, like, the wand with the star on it.
I think that's kind of maybe the...
Yeah,
it's paying homage to that yep. She's like, thinks she's Glinda.
Yeah.
But that's so funny.
I'm gonna be popular.
Oh, it's so good. Some of my other favourite quotes from this film. Slay queen, don that gay apparel. Feeling FOMO-sexual.
FOMO-sexual, oh my god.
Like FOMO.
Yeah, that was good. Just too bad that Peter's the one that delivered the line.
I just love a gay Christmas pun. Sorry, not sorry. Also, Christmas Carol's signs. Carol likes to make motivational signs.
She's a Hobby Lobby queen.
Yeah, and I actually love them. But it's like those, like, I like that they make fun of the really cringy signs people put up, like, live, laugh, love.
Yeah.
Or, Like, family is where you make it. Or like, here are the kitchen rules, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All the...
I hate love them.
Autumn, girl, summer, wait. All the Christian girl autumn signs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Autumn leaves. Just girly things. Just girly things came out as gay.
What?
Did you... So, you know...
I didn't know that was a prison.
You know the just girly things thing? Like, when he does this, it makes me smile. She came out as a lesbian.
That honestly, I'm not even surprised.
No, everyone in Tumblr was like, yes!
She was overcompensating. Yeah,
literally. Just girly things. She actually just wants...
Girly things. Wow.
Lesson learned.
Love it.
Anyway, the film.
Well, okay.
The film.
Okay. Let's talk a bit about James.
Do I have anything else to say about James?
Let's talk about that awkward kiss that they shared.
There's like nothing there. Oh my God. It's literally like...
Guys, listen. I know we're all lesbians here. I know we're not. This is why I'm asking the audience. In the room right now, it's just us, the lesbians. But you guys, listeners... When a really handsome man kisses you and looks at you for more, are you pulling away? Or are you leaning in? I'll give you 2 seconds. 1, 2. Exactly. So explain to me why they share this weird peck. And then Peter's just kind of like, oh, I'm going to go spend time with my family now. It's Christmas.
And he's so like... The whole time, he's like, oh, you know, I don't really get to spend that much time with my family. Like, I've been on this date all day and I actually haven't spent any time with them. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And it's like, stop.
Literally. I'm like, okay. I think they really paint a different picture of Peter at the start of the film because he has this like high powered job and he's literally sleeping with a married man. I mean, obviously he doesn't know. But still... Do you know what I mean? So you think of him like, and like he sleeps around clearly because he has a new boyfriend every 5 months.
Yeah.
I mean, you just think of Peter differently. And then he's with this gorgeous looking guy and there's nothing there.
He just doesn't know what he wants.
He doesn't even react to anything. He's not even there's no sexual tension whatsoever.
No, he just doesn't know what he's doing. It's like kind of cutesy. There's no sexual tension with anyone, not even with Nick. Not even when Nick is like, I'm in love with you.
Yeah.
I loved that bit when Nick was like, I love you, and Peter was like, oh, I love you too. And it's like, because obviously you say love you too, but you're gay friends.
Mm-hmm.
But then Nick had to be like, no, I'm in love with you. And then Peter's like, oh my God.
He's like, wait, what? What? No.
But I think to give Nick's character credit, I think it does kind of speak to like how being gay at Christmas can maybe be a bit lonely for some people because he doesn't have any family and he's come to Peter's family for Christmas and he loves spending time with Peter's family, but you know, he recognizes that they're not his family. And then Peter goes off with this James guy who he has no chemistry with. And then Nick's just there like, oh, actually, like, I am just on my own. And that realization kind of dawns on him, and I find that quite sad.
Yeah. I mean, the whole blind date at around Christmas in a town where you don't live, set up by your mother, when you're at your family with a friend, is weird.
Yeah,
like, the whole situation is weird.
Yeah.
Like, I would never.
Yeah, it was like, if, I mean, in what world would this happen? But if my parents did that, I'd be like, this is silly.
Yeah.
If you're bringing your friend home to be with your family because your friend has no one else...
You're not gonna.
You spend time with your friend, with your family. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I do feel a bit sad. I do feel sad for Nick.
Yeah.
Like, I think he deserves better than that.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's happy with Peter, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I really like how much he loves Peter's family.
Yeah, it's really, really cute.
Yeah.
And they're all so welcoming. Like, this is what I mean. It's like picture perfect.
Yeah.
Like, nothing's wrong. And it's nice because we don't get that. We don't get that in films. So I understand that it's nice to see that the gay people being accepted like this.
But also there needs to be a happy medium, doesn't there?
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be in the family. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. The family could still be nice like that.
Yeah, there can be drama without being triggering and traumatizing to the gays. Like, yeah, we can find that happy medium where we've got openly gay people. Because I feel like Happiest Season nearly got there, but there was the whole, like, family doesn't know gay still situation. The closet. Yeah, which was
no
just
more
like,
closets.
Which I just can't deal with that. No more closets for Christmas.
Honestly.
Like, which is why I like Single All the Way so much, because we're already out, we're already proud of who we are, like, all the family and friends are good and fine and there's no issue. But, you know, there can still be that little element of spice.
Yeah, obviously. You know what I would love to see? Okay, this could be my ideal Christmas queer film.
Set the scene, girl.
Because, like I said, I love drama. Also, my Christmases are never, like, perfect, which is totally fine, because yeah, whose Christmas is perfect?
No, no one's Christmas is perfect.
I would love a Christmas film with a family where there's just so much tension and fighting and misery, but it has nothing to do with the gays.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there's two gays, lesbians preferably.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to do with them being queer at all.
Yeah.
But there's so much tension and fighting. I would love that. I'd love it.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Or, like, you know, you know how Love Actually is one of my favorite Christmas films.
I always wish, there I say this all couple. The time, thank you, yeah. I always say all the time, if Love Actually had a gay couple in it,
yeah,
that would be incredible. I love that film. That film, that is one of the best Christmas films,
right?
In my opinion.
I love it so much.
Because, you know, it was made just after 9/11. People were reevaluating what was important.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, it feels very London. Oh, it's just so nice. I can't believe that film's 20 years old.
That is actually mad.
I love that film. If that film had gay people in it.
Literally.
Gay couples in it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So I would love that.
Yeah.
Like,
just connections with people. Like, everyone's connected somehow.
Yeah.
And that's true with gay people. Everyone's connected. Like, we're all like 2-3 degrees
removed. What if it's
Love
Actually, but it's all gay people?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Yes.
Like the L word, but Christmas?
Yes, because... exactly. Because everyone knows each other, right?
Yeah.
What should we call it?
Gay Actually. Duh. Oh my God.
I just forgot our namesake. I forgot our namesake. Right, so people may not know. Well, people probably do know.
Mm.
But especially on the UK Film Review podcast. But we pitched like 6 different names for this podcast series, and Gay Actually was chosen because a lot of you listeners to this podcast are fans of Richard Curtis, and I know Chris has done a Richard Curtis episode before that did really, really well. So yeah, the general consensus was Gay Actually because it's like Love Actually.
I love it.
But it's like a little spin, and you know,
I love it. We talk about all these stories.
Yeah, and we talk about people, which is what we love to do. And also things that aren't necessarily gay. Like, we talked about Eileen, which came out on Monday. If you haven't listened to it yet, go onto our Gay Actually channel and listen to Eileen.
Yeah.
But it's ambiguous as to whether or not that's queer. We've talked about Barbie, which has queer elements to it. But, you know, we can look at something and be like, that's gay, actually. And that's the point.
Yes. Yes.
We like queer-coded things. Like, it doesn't have to be inherently gay, you know. If we can connect to it in some way, then we want to talk about it, and that's nice.
Yes. couldn't agree more.
Anyway, do we have anything else to say about Single All the Way? Because I feel like we have barreled on through.
It just felt like an unseasoned turkey at Christmas.
Oh, a dry plain turkey. You know, I prefer gammon to turkey at Christmas. I'm a meat eater.
What did you just say?
Gammon.
What the f*** is gammon?
Ham.
Oh.
Like Christmas ham.
Yeah, I'm vegan.
I was going to say, I'm the meat eater of the podcast.
I like a good nut roast or a mushroom Wellington.
Mm. Ooh, a mushroom Wellington. Mother. Or like a med veg Wellington.
A mushroom. Ooh. Okay, so what I've been making for years in a row now for Christmas is a mushroom lentil Wellington.
And you make
with
it
with a
yourself?
Mustard sauce. Yes, of course.
Oh, nice.
I love it. I love it.
Okay, this is gammon. I'm showing Joyce a picture.
Oh, I have seen that.
I do.
You
know
just
that.
Eat it like that. Is that hot or is it cold?
It's hot, but you know, you can have it cold as leftovers in like a sandwich.
Okay.
Christmas sandwich.
All right.
Just delicious.
Cute. Yeah, okay.
If you like meat or eat meat. Yeah. It's better than turkey.
I don't really get the thing with turkey. No. It always seems so dry to me.
I don't really care. You know, there's only so much you can season it for Christmas. Right. I prefer all the other things.
I just realized
kind of there.
These people in this film actually have a Christmas dinner. They didn't
have Christmas.
Did they even have a gift exchange?
I don't think we made it to Christmas Day.
We didn't even make it to Christmas Day.
You're right. The whole build-up they do with the calendar on the wall, like how many sleeps until down. Christmas, and we don't even get to Christmas Day.
Oh my God. I can't believe it.
Or do we get to Christmas morning where they're in the plant shop?
I think there might be, yeah.
No, or is that Christmas Eve?
No, they get to the plant shop before Christmas. Because
how does he get...
There's an unwrapping scene where they're already together and they kiss. Yes. And then the mom says, this is the best Christmas present ever.
So that's Christmas Day. Okay, cool. But we don't get Christmas dinner?
No dinner. They had to save on the food props.
Oh my God.
Ran out of budget.
No offense, but how did Nick think that he was going to get a last minute flight out to... Well, how did Peter think that Nick was going to get a last-minute flight out?
Because Nick
booked... looks for a hotel.
He looks for a hotel, yeah.
But how does Peter think he's got a last-minute flight? Yeah. Like, Peter, wake up. There's no way that there's going to be a flight from New Hampshire to LA on Christmas Day. I've never even been to the States, and I know that.
I mean, and if there would be, it would just be outrageously expensive.
Exactly.
I mean...
Madness.
Didn't even get a Christmas dinner. Look at that. No roast potatoes for anyone.
Oh, I love roast potatoes.
I love roast potatoes.
My dad makes the best roast potatoes. It's just got to be said. They're so crispy.
I just can't get it right. Can't get it right. I've tried so many times.
Corn flour.
But when do you put the corn flour on? In the pan when it boils?
So when I put the corn flour on is I boil the potatoes.
I boil the potatoes.
I drain the potatoes. And then I toss them in corn, like a spoon or two of corn flour. Okay. Shake them up. And then I put them in a pan of hot oil with... a little salt and pepper, maybe some mixed herbs if I'm feeling fancy.
Do you put the
fancy
pan in the oven before so it heats up?
Yeah,
with
yeah,
the oil.
It has to be hot oil. Yeah. So you put it in the hot oil, so they're tossed in the corn flour, but like so that it's not like coming off on the pan.
Yeah,
they're just like a light coating. Salt, pepper, a little bit of mixed herbs. Put them in the oven half an hour.
Do you boil them to like ready or just almost ready? Fork through, no fork through, bit soft.
A bit soft. Okay. Yeah, not raw, but like I boil them for like 10 minutes.
Okay. Just so they're a bit like,
yeah,
but not
so
ready.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna try this.
I
love potatoes.
Let me know, guys, if you make my potatoes.
So this is now a cooking podcast.
You know what? 2024. I know we, you know, maybe we can round this off with our hopes and dreams for 2024. Yeah. I want to make time to cook more because during lockdown, and my last job, I used to work from home all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so good at cooking and, like, experimenting with cooking. And I want to make more time to do that again because I get home and I can't be bothered. But I want to make more time to cook next year.
I'm taking a... You can, I don't know if you want to keep this in. Up to you.
I'll keep it in.
I'm currently on a mental health first aid course.
Yes!
So it's just a 2-day course, but I just finished the first day. Mm-hmm. And, like, the first thing we talked about was, like, self-care and, like, doing things or taking time out of your day to do things that make you feel relaxed and all of that. And I was thinking, I was like, I'm just busy like all the time.
Yeah, well, we all are, especially like, you know, we live in the city. It's like fast paced all the time.
Exactly.
Everything's going
like
on.
I'm always busy. But the one thing that I have almost every evening, almost, I say almost because sometimes I don't have it for like 3 days straight, is I cook for myself.
Yeah.
And I can't, when I don't eat at home with my own food, for like 2 days, I just miss it. I miss my home cooked food.
And you're such a good cook as well, because obviously you've got limited tools to work with. You can't have Allium. You're not an Allium girly. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I'm so proud of you. Thank you.
You're not an Allium. Can't have Allium. For those that don't know, onion and garlic.
And I'm vegan.
And you're vegan, so it's quite difficult.
Mm.
And so you are so good with like the Joyce's pasta salad. Joyce's pasta salad.
Oh, stop it.
All the Italians are screaming at me, but...
well, yeah. They scream at me all the time, believe me.
Do you have any more hopes and dreams for 2024? Obviously, your first... your mental health aid course that you're doing is really exciting.
Yeah, it's actually... It's really nice. Mm-hmm. My hopes and dreams for 2024 is... Just a nice, peaceful year. I want to. I've started bouldering, and I love it so much.
I
want to
come with you.
Please do.
I've only been bouldering like a couple of times. Like you'd have to spot me.
Oh, but girl, you'll be totally fine. I'm still like very much beginner level. I do like V0 to like V2 maybe on a lucky day.
Okay.
Beginner, but I just love it.
Yeah.
So I want to do that just for myself. Like I'm not trying to achieve anything, but I really just want to get fit in a way that I enjoy. So I want to do that. I want to have just, because I really, sorry, maybe it's just because I'm 25 now, but so I just really enjoy like the small things, like the home stuff. Like, I like having flowers and, like, having a candle on. Do you know, like, I'm just...
Yeah,
when, turned into, when... I just enjoy simple things so much.
When I got here, Joyce lit a candle.
Yeah.
You're so cute. I love
like,
it.
I just like... So, I just
domestic
want,
gay bliss.
I just want a nice... I just want nice, peace, quiet.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm done with all the craziness.
All the hullabaloo.
Yeah. But I'll still, you know, get drunk once in a while. So, yes, that's my 2024 wishes and hopes. Also spend more time with my family, actually, in Belgium. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. What about you?
I want to find like an active thing that I like, because I don't like active things. I did like bouldering.
It is really fun.
So maybe that will be the thing.
Yeah.
Improve my... I want to be strong.
Yeah. I totally understand.
But I think 2023, I think we were saying before that I've kind of become a bit more self-confident. Mm. I think 2024 is the year of me kind of harnessing that.
Yes.
Kind of using the self-confidence and growing and
amazing.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I love that for you.
But anyway, this kind of moved away from the film, but I'm really this is our last episode of the year.
Yeah.
Oh my god, happy end of 2023.
And to you, Merry Christmas, happy birthday, and happy new year.
Oh my god,
said in the wrong order, but
it's nearly my birthday. Well, anyway, thanks so much everyone for listening. If you like this episode, there will be more in January, fear not. We have two episodes coming your way in January, one on this channel and one of our Gay Actually channel.
Yeah.
We will tell you in the new year what they are, but we have picked the topics.
We're very, very excited.
So tune in to our Instagram to find out what they are at Gay Actually Podcast. If you like this episode, you can rate, follow, leave a review, follow UK Film Review, follow us on Gay Actually. We also have an email address, gayactuallyuk@gmail.com. Have I missed anything?
No, that was excellent. The last one of the year.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a lovely festive season and a happy new queer. Happy holidays. Christmas.
Yeah.
Or whatever you celebrate.
Yeah.
Take care, everyone. And goodbye.
Bye. Happy New Year.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.